The National Broadcasting Company presents The National Hour. This is a mirror of public opinion, reflecting what America and the world are thinking, planning, doing. This is today's interpretation of the problems and the newsworthy milestones that we must reach and pass on the road to peace and reconstruction. Today, January 27th, 1946, we present the 11th in the distinguished new NBC series, The National Hour. Our subject for today,
the campaign against the racketeer and swindler.
The fight to protect the money we've saved.
Hey, Bud, you want to make yourself some easy money? Let's go somewhere where we can talk in private.
Why, you'll have money, Mrs. Roberts. Position, servants, everything you've ever wanted. And you don't risk one penny. Now, if you'll just sign right here.
A man of your intelligence shouldn't have to work for a living, Mr. Cooper. Now, a few dollars invested in my organization will pay you the biggest dividend you ever saw.
Easy money.
No risk.
Big dividend.
This is Robert St. John in New York. Today we're going to bring you some rather startling facts about the present state of America's pocketbook and about a new army that has sprung into being in this great country of ours, an army made up of smooth, shrewd, ruthless, completely despicable characters known as confidence men, or as the police call them, con men. You will hear some of the rackets and swindles these con men are using at this very moment. You'll hear some suggestions, too, on how not to be swindled. Suggestions coming from authorities at NBC microphones in several sections of the country, ready to tell you what to do if a con man tries to get your money and how to recognize a con man when one comes your way. It will pay you to listen closely because
the con man will get you if you don't watch out.
This is Robert McCormick reporting from Washington. That's a timely and proper warning, St. John. Now listen to the fact, you Americans. At our National Hour microphone is Edward L. Green, General Manager of the National Better Business Bureau. As head of one of the organizations interested in protecting America's savings, Mr. Green is ready to give you a picture of what the con man has accomplished in the past and the target he's shooting at right now.
In the years immediately following the First World War, the con man took the American people for the sum of $176 million in Liberty bonds alone. In addition, untold other millions in cold, hard cash fell into the hands of swindlers and racketeers. It is never possible to say how much the confidence man takes in any given period for the simple reason that most of his victims fail to report their losses. They suffer in silence for the very human reason that they don't want their friends to classify them as suckers. Some estimates, however, place the annual take, year after year, as high as $1.5 billion. In 1946, that figure can skyrocket to unheard of heights, because never in this nation's history have so many people been in possession of so much money.
Well, how much money did America save during the war just ended, Mr. Green?
The figure will stagger you, Mr. McCormick. According to the latest Treasury Department estimate, the people of the United States on January 1st, 1946, this year, had on hand in government bonds and cash $181 billion. Not millions, Mr. McCormick, but billions.
$181 billion.
Now, Mr. McCormick, much of this money is in safe hands. These swindlers will not get it all. But there are billions of dollars in the hands of uninformed or gullible people. That, Mr. McCormick, is the con man's target. Any part of this huge sum Americans have saved out of wartime earnings.
Yes, that's the target, the savings of Americans. That's what the con man is after, and he's getting big chunks of it right now. Listen to this recent statement by the Security Exchange Commission.
fake gold mine promoters in Canada alone have taken an average of $1 million a week from gullible American investors.
$1 million a week. That's a tidy sum. We can hope that the take will soon be less than that, because in recent weeks a new Canadian securities law has become effective. The Dominion's action already has halted some of these operators. The risk for others has become more dangerous. But just in case, here is how these bucket shop operators work.
Hello?
Hello. That you, Smith?
Yes.
Well, this is Rowe in Toronto. You've read the literature I've been sending you, haven't you?
Why? Oh, yeah. That gold mine stuff.
Stuff? Listen, Smith, they put down 26 holes on our property, and confidentially, we've struck a major lode. The samples are terrific. Very high gold content.
Yeah?
Very high. Now, Smith, I can practically guarantee that that stock will triple itself in value within the next few days, possibly triple itself two or three times over. I can get you 1,000 shares today for just $220, Smith. 22 cents a share.
Well, gosh, Mr. Rowe.
Think of it. In a few days, your profit might jump to $1,200 or $1,500. Now, I ask you, where else in the world would you find an investment as solid as that?
Yes, Smith bought the stock. He couldn't say no. Fast-talking Mr. Rowe wouldn't let him say no. Besides, the bait was enticing.
Just a minute there, St. John. What did happen to that stock?
Oh, nothing. It isn't even listed on the exchanges. But Smith didn't bother to find that out.
Yeah, but where did this fellow Rowe get Smith's name and address so he could send him that literature?
Did you ever hear of a sucker list, or as the con men say, a tap list?
Why, no.
Are you in business, sir?
Yeah, I'm a druggist.
Then you are probably on a tap list.
Who, me?
I said probably. Tap lists are as essential to the con man as medicines are to your business, Mr. Druggist. They're bought and sold, swapped and bartered from one end of this broad land to the other. They list not only businessmen, but housewives, factory workers, discharged servicemen, janitors, bus drivers, everybody and anybody.
And at our National Hour microphone here in Washington, here's a man who's had a lot of experience with tap lists. He's William C. O'Brien, the attorney in charge of frauds in the United States Post Office Department.
Yes, we have had a good bit of experience. During the past 10 years, I personally have handled and supervised some 5,000 fraud cases. And today our workload is 6 to 10 times what it used to be during the war. In fact, it's the heaviest in 10 years. And I'm quite sure that the number will continue to increase. And of course, this tap list or sucker list racket will increase proportionately. Right now, a good many swindles are aimed at veterans and their relatives. If you run into some mail-order enterprise that looks crooked, and remember, there are a great many which are quite honest, but if you strike a suspicious one, or if you actually get a raw deal, send a letter to the Post Office Department as soon as possible. Don't sit back and take it. Help the Post Office break it. For the Department tries to protect the public from all kinds of gypsum swindles by enforcing the postal fraud laws. The Postmaster General has the authority to stop the mail addressed to any mail-order swindle and send the letters back to the victims and also refund their money orders. And getting back to tap lists, or if you like, sucker lists, they succeed because the experience shows a person who falls for a certain type of advertising once is always a good prospect for another jiff of the same kind. And that's why some so-called sucker lists have sold for as high as $5 per name in oil and gold stock rackets. And there used to be advertising writers who are now in jail who would guarantee to write a sucker letter for $100,000 it takes. The Post Office Department stopped that one years ago, but there's always a next time. So buy cautiously, spend carefully, and don't take a crooked deal from anybody.
That's good advice, and thank you, Mr. O'Brien. This is McCormick again. Now, let's go back now to the very beginning of this program. Do you remember?
Easy money. No risk. Big dividends.
Yes, these are the three main promises voiced by every swindler. They're ingredients the con man mixes together as expertly as a chef mixes his sauce. To them, he adds a more than ordinary understanding of human nature, a dash of legal knowledge, a brimming cup full of smooth talk, and a copious measure of quick wit. He flavors the concoction with a generous portion of getaway money, and then he's ready to come after you. He's extremely careful about the preparation of his getaway. He studies it so skillfully that he's rarely caught. In all sections of the country, a swindle is being worked every day. Ex-servicemen fall for it in droves.
I'm just out of the Army. I saw an ad in the paper, a blind ad, that promised ex-servicemen a well-paid job and a secure future. I answered the ad and was called to downtown office for an interview.
There you are, Thorpe. That's the story in a nutshell. Now, I have connections in Washington to get all the materials we need. I've been building houses all my life. The demand for housing was never as great as it is now.
Well, gosh, Mr. Harris, well, it sure sounds good, but I...
Well, what I actually want here, Thorpe, is a partner. Someone to help me bear the load. And I'm offering you a full partnership in this business for only $900. Now, what do you say?
Well, gee, I don't know. $900.
Thorpe, I took you to be a man of decision, but I'm afraid I was wrong.
Well, I...
Now, if you don't want to grab this opportunity, if you can't see how it'll make you wealthy in a few years, then forget it. Or forget the whole thing. I'm sure there are plenty of other young men who...
You say I get a salary, too, along with a half interest in the business?
Of course. $75 a week starting today, Wednesday.
All right. By gosh, I'll do it.
Good boy, Thorpe. That's the way I like to hear a man talk. Shake on it. Partner? Now, about the $900.
Why, I can give you a check right now, or we can go down to my bank
and... No, I can't spare the time for that. Just make out the check. I'll put you on the payroll as of today, and you'll be here on hand, say, Monday morning at 10. We get right down to work on these orders, getting things organized.
Well, you know what happened, or do you? Let's skip over to Monday morning.
Pardon me. Excuse me, please. I'd like to get into this office.
Who wouldn't? You too, bud. Hey, fellas, here's another one.
What do you mean? Hey, what are all you guys doing here? Hey, why isn't this office open? Where's Mr. Harris?
That's what we'd all like to know, bud. The elevator man says Harris hasn't been here since Thursday afternoon.
In that particular case, Thorpe and six other veterans were taken by this fast-talking swindler for a total of $4,800. They fell for it.
Easy money. No risk.
Big dividend.
Well, just a minute, Mr. McCormick. What should I have done?
Well, for one thing, Thorpe, you could have consulted your local veterans organization or the Veterans Administration office. And here at our NBC Washington microphone, to tell you what the organization has to offer the veteran, is Mr. N.D. Hathaway, the Director of Contact Services of the Veterans Administration. Mr. Hathaway.
Veterans Administration does not maintain an investment counseling service. There are too many variable factors. The most variable may be the veteran himself. However, the Veterans Administration, through its contact representatives at the many offices throughout the nation, want to help veterans. We'll suggest caution. Refer him to a bank in his city or town where he plans to invest his money, or recommend a better business bureau. We'll tell him where the Legal Aid Bureau is located in his hometown, where free legal assistance is available if he can't afford to hire a lawyer. We'll suggest he talk to local businessmen. Many towns have veterans information centers where businessmen's committees are available to advise and counsel veterans. One of the ways a veteran may intelligently invest his money is in connection with the conversion of his National Service Life Insurance. We can explain how the veteran's own money, together with a loan, might make it possible for him to buy a home, farm, or business. We can explain how his money, together with the allowance he gets from the government, would make it easier for him to complete his education, particularly if he is a family man. We won't tell him what to do, but we will advise to the best of our ability. In the final analysis, I think the best advice we can give is this. Use your head. Don't rush into an investment. Seek good advice. Investigate until you're satisfied yourself. It is better to be sure than sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Hathaway.
This is Robert St. John in New York again. I suppose it's hard to believe that a fellow like Thorpe would haul out his checkbook and dash off a check for $900 just like that. But remember, the con man is a super salesman. And don't forget that the con man is after small money, too. Out in California, one day last month...
Sensational new business offer. 10,000% profit. Holy smoke. 10,000% profit.
$25 capital needed, absolutely legal business, right today. Hey, not bad. I guess I better drop that outfit of line.
He did drop that outfit of line, and he got a reply by return mail.
If you will send $2, no stamps, please, we will send you promptly our complete plan for setting yourself up in a business that will net you 10,000% profit. What's $2 for a proposition like that, huh?
So our friend sent the $2, and by return mail he received another letter.
This is an excellent business to enter. You yourself invested $2. Now start up for yourself using the same method. Keep each $2 you receive and urge the senders to get into the same business, the same as we urged you. Hey, what is this? I've been gypped!
Only $2 on that one, but multiplied by hundreds and hundreds, and you have quite a racket. Did I say racket? Pardon me. It wasn't. As the ad said, the business was absolutely legal. You paid for advice, you got it. Small time? Sure, it was a small time operation. And there are others. Here's a nurse on the staff of a Chicago hospital.
Just one man I'd like to get my hands on. You know what he does? He comes around to hospitals and he takes orders for nurses' uniforms. With a small deposit, of course. And that's the last you see of him. If I could just meet up with him again just once...
Madam, if you please.
Well, I don't care. Can I name names on this program?
Well, in this case, yes, because this man is wanted by the police in quite a few of these 48 states.
All right. He calls himself Lehman Garth Ola, when he isn't using an alias, and he's about 31 years old. 6 feet tall, weighs around 200 pounds, has black hair, brown eyes, and scars on his right wrist.
And he took you for how much?
$15. And he got from $5 to $20 from almost every nurse in the hospital where I work. Like, if I ever lay my eyes on him again, I'll...
Nurses, watch out. This man may call on you. Or when spring rolls around, maybe this is the one who will knock at your door.
Oh, good morning, lady. Would you like some nice rich topsoil sprinkled on your garden? I got a truckload of it out here in front. 2 cents a pound.
No, thanks. Only 2 cents a pound?
That's right. Double the production of your garden, lady.
Well, all right. Give it a thin coat, then. A very thin coat.
Okay. Here, would you sign this, please?
What's that?
Oh, just an order. To show my boss I ain't loafing. One coat of topsoil on garden, it says here. See?
Oh, very well. There you are. Now spread it nice and even, and don't run your truck over my tulip bed. Oh, are you all through? How much is it?
$40 even.
$40? What? For just that little bit of dirt, why?
Hey, what's the matter, lady? You ordered it, didn't you?
But $40? I won't pay it, that's all. I won't pay it. But that's ridiculous for just a little dirt.
Now, look, lady.
I tell you, I won't pay it.
Lady, I got your signed order here.
No, get out. I'll call the police.
All right, go ahead and call the police, lady. Look, you ordered soil and signed the order. I spread the soil on your garden. And now I want my money, see? I want my money.
And he got it. He got it because he was right. The victim signed a paper. He put a ton of soil on that garden, and at 2 cents a pound, that comes to $40. When springtime comes, that might happen to you. Watch out. The woman who fell for that topsoil racket did go to the police, and it was possible for police officials to expose the racket to the community to put people on their guard. The authorities of every American community are on the alert for these petty racketeers, for such sharp practices are not confined to any one section of the country. Let's switch now to the Rocky Mountain region to hear the report of S.T. Anderson, Assistant District Attorney of Denver, Colorado. Come in, Station KOA in Denver, and Mr. Anderson.
Let this serve as another reminder to civilians as well as returned servicemen and women that if you are approached by anyone with any proposition that in your mind is questionable, do not hesitate to notify the authorities. Here in Denver, as in any other city or hamlet across the country, the police and the offices of the district attorney are at your call night and day for your protection from violence, a glib tongue, or a smooth line. As an example, criminal charges have been recently brought against a promoter of a so-called plastic paint company in which three Army officers from a nearby Army post had invested $3,500. In Denver, as in other areas of our country since VJ Day, the con man, the swindler, the dishonest stock promoter, has been doing double duty. Crime generally has risen approximately 30%. The prolific mind of the confidence man is busy in creating new and ingenious methods of extracting the savings and mustering out pay of service men and women and the competence of the aged. To curb this increase in crime, we must have the cooperation of all of our citizens. The law enforcement officers of your community are your friends, and it is their job to help you and protect you. But do not forget the key word, cooperation. It is the prime factor in curbing crime, be it petty larceny or murder in the first degree.
The National Hour returns now from Denver to New York and Washington.
Moving in on our pageant of racketeers, I have a nomination for the meanest person of the year.
Now, who's that, McCormick?
A con woman. Here in Washington one afternoon, she collared several school children on their way home.
You'd like to have a nice new fountain pen, wouldn't you, little boy? One like this?
Sure. Gee, that's a swell one, too.
I'd like one, too.
Mine leaks.
Oh, one like this will never leak. This pen's worth $15.
Golly! How can I get one?
Oh, me, too. I want one, too.
Oh, all right. Now, you see these little boxes?
Yeah.
Well, every one of them contains a lovely box of powder and a compact. Mm. Now, if each of you will sell 12 of these boxes for me to your mother and your big sister and to your friends, I'll see that you get one of these lovely pens as a reward.
Oh, boy!
You'd like to do that?
Sure thing. Oh, I sure would.
All right. Now, you give me your names and addresses, and I'll give you the boxes, and when you've sold them all...
And what happened, McCormick? Didn't she give them the pens?
Oh, she gave them pens, all right, St. John, but not the $15 kind she showed them. The pens she gave them sold for 39 cents at the corner drugstore.
Well, see, America, to the con man or the con woman, all the world is a sucker. Now let's look briefly at a few more petty rackets.
The furnace racketeers took me. They came to clean my furnace, tore it all down, and then told me they could put it back together again, but that they couldn't guarantee my family wouldn't be asphyxiated. We had to buy a new furnace. Naturally, after they scared us into it that way.
Well, a fellow came into my filling station and asked me to put 3 gallons of water in his gas tank. Water, mind you. Well, I did. And he took out a little white pill out of his pocket and dropped it into the tank. Then he got in, touched the starter, and that motor ran as sweet as you please. I paid him $10 a dozen for 6 dozen of them pills. And I didn't find out till I'd ruined my own car that the fella had a false tank inside of his regular gas tank. I'm stuck with all them white pills.
My daddy came back from the war, and he found an apartment. But we had no furniture. We saw an ad that said a widow lady wanted to sell her furniture. And daddy looked at it. Mommy liked it. So daddy paid for it. But when they bought it, it wasn't the same furniture at all. Daddy said it wasn't worth 1/4 of what he paid for it. But we couldn't prove anything.
Well, there are a few of the tricks the con man is using right now, some of them as old as the hills. The con man merely adapts them to the season of the year, the part of the country he's working in, or the state of the community's finances. But remember, there's one thing every con man avoids as he would a quarantine sign. Earlier in the program, we heard one war veteran say...
Well, I can give you a check right now, Mr. Harris, or we can go down to my bank
and... No, I can't spare the time for that. Just make out a check for it.
Well, that's typical. Con men don't like bankers. That's other people's bankers. Your banker is one man the con man carefully avoids. And there are reasons, of course. We've brought to our National Hour microphone a man who has taken a leading role in the current drive to inform the country of the depredations of swindlers. Here is W. Randolph Burgess, Vice Chairman of the National City Bank of New York. Mr. Burgess.
Our experience, Mr. St. John, is that many veterans are eager to start enterprises for which they have great enthusiasm, but little experience. They are willing to gamble their savings and the money they may get through a veteran's loan in an attempt to make a peacetime reality of a foxhole dream. Unfortunately, there will be people ready to take the veteran and his money for a ride, which has for its destination heartache, disillusionment, bitterness, and debt. There will be others with good intentions, ready to sell him service stations, lunch counters, grocery stores and taverns, radio shops and tourist cabins and run-down farms, which never did and never could make a living for anyone. Here's some friendly counsel for the veteran or for others with savings. Ask the man who knows. Ask an experienced businessman. Ask your local veteran center or your Better Business Bureau. Ask your banker. He knows these ventures. You have many good neighbors ready to help you. Make a careful reconnaissance before you enter a new area.
Thank you, Mr. Burgess.
On this subject, then, our documentary is closed.
Except for this final word.
Easy money.
No risk.
Big dividend.
Con Man will get you if you don't watch out.
And now this is Robert St. John inviting you to listen next Sunday at this same time when our subject will be the plastics industry.
This has been the National Hour. From our studios in New York, Washington, and Denver, the National Broadcasting Company has presented the 11th of the new series on current problems and national affairs. Speakers were Edward L. Green, S.T. Anderson, N.D. Hathaway, William E. O'Brien, and W. Randolph Burgess. Robert St. John was your narrator, with Robert McCormick reporting from Washington. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.